following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, I want to start tonight with a little bit of a story. You know, we've been going through the parables of Jesus, and parables are incredible. So I wanted to start with this one tonight. Listen up. Once upon a time, there was a rabbi, an incredible intellectual rabbi. He was brilliant. He was great at persuading people of his opinion, the way that he looked at Scripture. And he started to develop a theological position. And he then went before 10 sages, 10 older rabbis, and he argued his point and presented his point in front of them. And as he went back and forth with them, he made his final point, and he was sure, absolutely sure, that his argument was airtight. Absolutely sure. Well, to his dismay, the 10 sages got together, they thought about it, they talked about it, and they went back to them, and they said, I'm sorry, your argument, your theological position, even though you seem to be a master of Scripture, we have rejected it. It is rejected. And he was blown away. He did not understand how they could reject his theological position that he had just presented to them. So sure of himself, he said, okay, well, if I'm correct, then that fig tree over there will uproot itself and it will walk across this yard and go over here. And right as soon as he said that, sure enough, a fig tree, this is not a real story, by the way, a fig tree uprooted itself, walked across the yard, and planted itself right over there. The 10 sages were not moved. They didn't care. They said, there's no proof in the fig tree. So he was blown away, and he said, fine, okay. Well, if I'm correct, then may this stream of water that is running next to us all of a sudden turn around and start flowing backwards, and no sooner than he finished his sentence did that stream of water all of a sudden adjust its current and start flowing backwards. Well, the 10 sages said, no, I'm sorry, it is 10 to 1. There is no proof in the fig tree. It is 10 of us, one of you, no proof in the fig tree, and there is no proof in the stream of water. The decision still remains 10 to 1. And he said this, okay. Completely frustrated and absolutely confident at this point, he said, if I am correct, then may God himself reveal himself and tell all of you that I am correct. And right as he said that, the skies opened up. It thundered, a beam of light shot down, and sure enough, a voice with thunder and raging waters came down, and it said, this man is correct in his understanding. The 10 sages got together, they talked amongst themselves, they looked at the rabbi, and they said, okay, it is now 10 to 2. Aha. The point of a parable is that sometimes, some of you guys are catching on to that, when we have been coming to church for a long time, we have been doing things a certain way for a long time. Sometimes we can become so rigid in our understanding and hearing of simple, practical, easy-to-see truth that's right in front of our face, that we don't really understand the power of what is happening right in front of us. Tonight, we're going to dive into a parable that is very similar, and it's a very, very simple, very, very simple parable. But yet, in some of the most simplest things, there's the most profound truth. Let's go ahead and pray for tonight, and we'll get into it. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for tonight. As we just get into your word quickly, Lord, I pray that you guide us during this time. Allow us to receive from your word what you would have us hear. In your name, amen. Now, tonight, I'm going to go a little bit fast through this parable. So, for you to know, we're going to be in Luke chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9. And then I'm going to reference John chapter 15, verse 8. So if you want to write those two down, you can look them up later, or you can go there now if you want. Now, Jesus spoke in parables. Incredible storyteller, loved to speak in parable. And why is parable such a powerful, powerful way to teach? It's because the listener, just like what you guys just did, you hear the message, you receive the message, and you have to work it out in your own mind. Some would say that you're working for your meal. you're working for the lesson that you're learning. And Jesus loved teaching parable. He spoke in Mark chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. You can look at it there, and he's referencing a verse out of Isaiah. And what he's saying in this verse, when his disciples come to him and they say, Jesus, why are you teaching in parable form? And he says, well, it's so that the saying that the prophet wrote would be true. And it's this, that those that hear will not understand, and those that see will not perceive. It's kind of a difficult verse to try to understand what Jesus actually saying. And I'll give you kind of the short version in understanding. Please go study it later. He's saying this. He's saying there will be people whose hearts are so hardened that they'll hear a story and they'll just hear a good story and they'll walk away and they will not glean the deeper truth that's behind it. They'll see something happen right in front of their face and they'll say, wow, that's incredible, and then they'll walk away. But those that are looking, those that are paying attention, like his disciples, those are the ones that he's looking for. Through parable, Jesus was looking to give people a deeper understanding of the kingdom of heaven, and he's looking for those that are listening for him and are looking for him. And so that's a challenge for you tonight as we go through this parable. Are you guys ready? Awesome parable tonight. This is the parable of the barren fig tree. Starting off in Luke chapter 13, verse 6, it says this, short parable tonight. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it rise up out of the ground? But then the keeper answered him and said, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it, fertilize it, and if it bears fruit, well, keep it. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. Simple parable. What's this mean? Let's get into it. This parable is very simple. There's three key players in this parable that Jesus is speaking about. There's the certain man, the owner of the vineyard, the keeper. That is God the Father, right? And the owner of this vineyard who owns this fig tree, he has a design, he has a purpose, an expectation that this fig tree was planted here to do something. That was his expectation. And he comes to it and he says, but guess what? It's not doing what it was designed to do. It's worthless. It's taking up space. The master, the owner of the vineyard. Secondly, there's the fig tree. The fig tree. Well, what's the fig tree? The fig tree is simple. It's me, it's you, it's we, it's us, it's mankind, it's us. We are the tree. We are the fig tree. We are the one that the master is coming to and saying, it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's just sitting there taking up space on the ground. Why does it continue to do this? But then last but not least, there's this third figure in this parable that is a representation of Christ Jesus himself. And it's the keeper of the vineyard. And it is his desire that he steps in between as a mediator. And he says, listen, I will fertilize it. I will come here. I will take care of the tree. I will take care of it. I will give it what it needs. Give it just a little bit more time. Just give it a little bit more time. Give it one more year. And watch, it will bear fruit. And if it doesn't bear fruit, then have your way with it. Have your way with it. That's the example of Jesus. So what's that mean for us? Well, we are the tree. What are we designed to do in this story? What was the master of the vineyard expecting of his fig trees? Simple. The purpose of a Christian life is to what? To bear fruit. It's to bear fruit. That is the design of the fig tree. You need to bear fruit. It is our job to glorify God. If any of you remember or understand or have ever done some church history or research, there was the Westminster Catechism. And they try to put together different things as to, you know, different man tries to, like, analyze, okay, well, how do we actually, like, how do we glorify God? And they say, well, what's the purpose of it? Well, to glorify God and enjoy him forever is what they would say if you attach yourself to that. And I definitely think that they got that right, in the sense that our job is to glorify God, is to bear fruit and glorify God. And in John chapter 15, Jesus says this to his disciples. We say, what is our purpose? What are we supposed to be doing? Well, we're supposed to make disciples. We're supposed to glorify God. Well, we glorify God and we make disciples. It's that easy. That's what our life is all about. Okay, so what's that look like? And Jesus says, well, this is how you glorify God and you make disciples, by bearing fruit. By bearing fruit, you glorify God and show that you are my disciples. John 15, verse 8. That's what Jesus says. Gives definition. So that leaves us with the question. Okay, fruit. Let's talk about fruit. What is fruit? We can say that a lot of things are fruit, and as you look throughout Scripture, you get to see this metaphor kind of replayed over and over and over again, and I want to give you a framework tonight to maybe fit that within, and I'm going to give you two things to think about fruit. There are two kind of examples that I would categorize fruit in the Scriptures, what they're talking about. One is they're talking about the attitude type of fruit, the spiritual fruit. These are the fruits that you will read in Galatians that you see Jesus repeat. These are the fruits that Paul will talk about and he'll reinforce through all of his epistles. And those are the fruits of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Those are the fruits. Those are the attitude. Those are the spiritual fruits that come from within us as we are the tree. But then there's this other fruit, and there's the fruit of, well, what about when we go to church? What about when we give? What if we use our musical abilities, our gifts, our talents to teach and serve? That's an actionable fruit. And it's important to make the distinction between the two fruits in a Christian's life. There's an attitude fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then there's an actionable fruit, and that's giving and serving and playing music and teaching and helping, healing, and doing all of those things that a Christian does outwardly to others. This is the important distinction that you need to know when it comes to your life as a believer and bearing fruit. The attitude always comes before the action. The action without the attitude is false fruit. Love, if you give, if you're going to be giving of your finances, giving of something that has come to you, you're going to give that to the church, you're going to give it up to God, you're going to give of your time, of your labor, of your energy, and you do that without love or without joy in your heart, well, that's not something that God desires or he wants, right? Now, it's a good thing to give, it's a good thing to serve, it's a good thing to participate, to be involved, but not without the correct heart. And that example is repeated over and over and over again. It's always the attitude before the action. It is always the spiritual fruit that leads to the fruits that Paul would talk about, where he says that I received a first fruit from you guys, a financial fruit, right? But it was out of their love that they gave it to him. Why he was so glad. Now, as you dive into God's word again and again and again, that message is reinforced over and over and over again. And I know as believers, people who've been attending church for a long time, sometimes we can get into rhythms, we can get into patterns, the way that we're supposed to do things. And our traditions sometimes overtake our heart. They overtake the purpose was to change man's heart, our heart, to bear that good fruit inside of us, internally within us, and we replace it with just actionable fruit. And then to the outside world, it looks like hypocrisy. And that's not the way that it works. That's not what he wants. Now, some of you may be doing some thinking or some contemplating right now, and this may leave you feeling like, oh man, Jonathan, like, oh man, I may have to maybe do a little bit of work on this right now. I need to work on me. I need to have more patience. I need to give with more love. I need to be filled with more joy. I need to do this. We do this all the time in the children's ministry because we teach about the fruits of the Spirit all the time as we teach through Scripture. And I would tell you this, absolutely not. Your job is not, and this is the focus of the parable I want to get to, is not to tell yourself, I need more joy. It is not to tell yourself, I need more self-control. It is not to tell yourself, I need more patience. Okay? That's not what this parable is saying, and that gets confused all the time. This is what it's saying. Remember, in this parable, you are the tree. You are the tree. And a tree cannot produce fruit on its own. Jesus backs this up in John chapter 15 and verse 4, where he says, you know what? You cannot produce fruit on your own. You must abide in me. In this story here, we look at it and we see that Jesus is the keeper of the tree. He is the one that fertilizes the tree. He is the one that gives the tree its nutrients and what it needs. So what's that mean for you? How do I get that? Well, it's simple. You've got to look down into your roots. You've got to look at the things that are underground, the things that are not seen, the things that go deep within your life. And you need to make those available to him and allow him to do his work in those areas in your life. You need to expose some of those dark roots that are hidden beneath the surface, the things you do. It could be some of the prides that you have, the struggles you have, some of the prejudices that you hold against other people. You need to allow God to get in there to do some work underneath the surface at the root of where you're at, so that he, who is the water of all life, he and his spirit will flow through you who are the tree, and naturally you will bear fruit. Does that make sense? That is the message of this parable. And the world confuses it all the time. They confuse it all the time because we so desperately want to say, I need to have more patience. I need to have more patience. I need to have more patience. I need to have more self-control. No more self-control. I need to have more peace. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. What you need is to be more fertilized and taken care of and watered. And you need to sit next to the stream of life, which is the Spirit of God, which is when you look at Scripture again and again and again, is that we who live by the Spirit must walk by the Spirit. Jesus says that his words are spirit and they are life. Absorb his words, study his words, meditate on his word, read his word, and allow it to seep into the darker, deeper areas of your life that are unseen. And those areas that you struggle in, where you're like, I don't know if I'm bearing fruit, guess what? You're going to start seeing it. Amen? Amen. All right, that's all I got for tonight for you guys. Tonight, as we close, and I believe we're going to close with one more song, and I know it's a fast night tonight, it's an opportunity to respond to that. When you get an opportunity to respond to that message, wherever you're at, if you felt like the Lord touched you, you heard something through music, whatever tonight, I want to just open up us up with a time of prayer as we get into a time of worship. And then in the back, I've already asked our ushers, if you want to have some prayer, if you want to talk with somebody, we're going to be back there. We're going to be available for you as we continue on. Let's go ahead and pray.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.